one of the things that came out of it was he made some statements about ice ages and climate change that really changed my life. And because what I did was, the first thing after I'd gotten the conversation all transcribed is I started going through the various scientific statements he'd made. And most of them were, quite frankly, not anywhere at that time in the scientific literature. They just weren't there. But I did find, by looking through various papers and sort of doing fundamental research in the area of paleoclimate, past climate, that he had correctly described what a lot of scientists had not yet put together about the way climate changes at the end of an ice age. And we have to remember that for the past 3 million years, Earth has been in a really unusual state. During this time, it has oscillated back and forth between periods of intense glaciation, which have lasted 100,000 years or more, and then these brief periods of called interglacials, which are about 15,000 years long, where there's where it reaches a point, usually toward the end of an interglacial, where there's no, at least the North Polar Cap is gone. It's all water. And then there's a mysterious change, and it's quite abrupt, and another ice age begins. And I put this together piece by piece, and all of the scientific literature was in place. Just nobody had ever connected the dots. So Art and I were talking about it, and he said, you know, well, why don't we do a book about it? And so we wrote Superstorm together. And we went out, and of course we were just laughed off the stage by people like Matt Lauer, because they'd never heard of anything like this before.
Well, the premise being that the abrupt change, a deep freeze, could happen, boom, like that.
In a month. Yeah, it could go from one climate to another. In the movie it was like a week, but in the book it's more like a month or 2 months. And that was what we saw. But we found things. This amazing work done by a professor from the Bird Polar Research Institute, a wonderful, fascinating guy called Lonnie Thompson, where he has gone down into the core, to the foundations of glaciers all through the Peruvian Andes, and has found deciduous temperate zone plants under these glaciers, frozen so quickly that their cells are still intact. They're like frozen food in that sense. They're not frozen slowly, so that they are all wilted like they would, in an early frost on a farm or in your backyard garden. They're frozen so suddenly that the cells are intact, like, you know, you open frozen food and it's all still looks fresh, meaning that they froze almost instantaneously. They were flash frozen. Nobody knows the mechanism of that. But we do now know, and this has now become much more scientifically valid, since the Master of the Key made these statements about how this happened, a group of scientists working in northern Germany a few years ago did cores in some ancient lakes. And they determined that the last time climate change occurred on this scale in Germany was the beginning of after the last ice age warmed up, and then there came a period that paleoclimatologists and geologists call the Younger Dryas, where it suddenly got very cold again. They determined that this change took place in that lake over a 30-day period. It went from one climate, very much like this, to a completely untenable, freezing climate, and it stayed like that for 2,000 years.
What did this guy tell you that led you to believe he was warning that we could be facing something like that real soon?
Well, he described the way it happened. He described how come down and flood down into the south into the Atlantic, and how this would stop the Gulf Stream. And when that happened, sudden climate change would be imminent. And right now, there is a huge bolus of fresh water from summer melt off of Greenland and the North Pole polar cap last summer, which it got very warm up there, and there was a huge amount of melt. It's sitting there in the Arctic Ocean. It's not yet enough to start moving south. But if you look at Gulf Stream flows now and Gulf Stream flows in June, say, of 2004, it's a whole different picture. It was much stronger then than it is now. If that water comes down, we will have what the Master of the Key described. And the result of this will be that, for example, Europe, which is right now the number one producer of wheat in the world, not the number one exporter, we are, but it produces more wheat than any other. That little bit of the world, just that little bit of Europe, is so productive, that production would end. And when it did, right now, people all across the world are restless, especially in the Middle East, because they're not getting enough food, and food prices are too high for them to afford. That would become an extraordinary worldwide phenomenon under those circumstances, and that could happen next year.
His implication is that billions of people could die soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and that's a correct implication. You know, there's people say, oh, global warming is nonsense. It's all a fantasy. I even get letters from people explaining to me that carbon dioxide isn't a greenhouse gas and so on and so forth. I don't really care about that. I'm not even interested in it, whether or not I'm not interested in it from a political standpoint. And the reason is nature is numbers. In nature, 2 and 2 never equals 4.3 or 3.9 ever. It's always 4. And if there is another season of melt this summer, as dramatic as there was last summer, and so far the Arctic air mass is holding, it's not getting colder. I mean, it's not getting hotter than it should be. It's normal. It's not normal farther south, God knows. In most of the United States, it's terribly hot. But in the Arctic, it's holding okay. If that happens again, and there's more methane pouring out into the atmosphere than there was last summer, then this whole shift could take place.